Yes, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM, bringing you Benny Goodman doing the Glenn Miller classic In the Mood. What's your mood? Well, today we're going to study, we'll bring you more of that a little later. Today we're going to study moods. More about moods than you could imagine. You know, every time anybody ever speaks about moods, they talk about a thing called bipolar disorder. And bipolar disorder is manic depressive disorder is another name for it. Cyclothymic disorder is another name for it. But they talk about mood as if mood is evil. You know, mood spelt backwards is doom. What's your mood? Nobody ever says I'm moody when they mean they're happy. But happiness is a mood. Let's look at some of the different moods that we have. How about feeling blue? Do you ever feel blue? That's a mood. How about a dark cloud? That ominous kind of feeling. Or the blah. You know, the feeling of blah. That's a mood. Or stressed out is a mood. Oversensitivity to pain. That's another move. Hypersensitive. But, you know, are there only negative moods? The doom moods? What about calm? Is that a mood? Certainly is. Now, a mood means more than a feeling. A mood is like a general overlay, you know? You could feel sad and be in a good mood. But it's the mood that is the underlay. That's the kind of template. How about excited? Did you ever feel excited? That's a mood. I'm excited. Or sexual. When you get that kind of sexual fire where all you want to do is get together with somebody and just share your passion. Curious is another mood. You know, you look at somebody, you look at a child, and you give a child a toy, and the child looks at the box, right, and starts crawling in the box of the toy rather than the toy itself, because the curiosity will get him there and he'll travel. That mind of a child is fabulous to watch. Curiosity is such a big part of it. We're going to talk much more about curiosity later. You could also feel satisfied, satiated. You know, you have a good meal, you have great sex, you have a nice loving family time, you're sitting around your own version of a fireplace, whatever that is, which may be a television. Do you ever think about that? The TV is a replacement for the fireplace. You know, they used to do that, sit around the fireplace. Now it's Monday Night Football. How about feeling playful? How's that about that as a mood sometimes? Or creative. Or feeling involved in something. These are all moods that you could have at any given time. And yet, like we said, there's a mood that aren't so happy, like worried all the time. Those are moods. Now, what makes a mood happen? That's our question. What brings you the mood? Could the mood be as simple as if you drink a lot of coffee, you feel excited, and that's your mood, an excitatory mood? Could it be something that happened with another person? Somebody tells you, I love you, and that puts you in a good mood? Is it that you have, it just doesn't matter what you eat or what someone tells you, but cyclically during the month, you're going to have dark days and light days? So we've kind of isolated some of the factors of what it is. Let's start with hormones. Hormones could certainly dictate moods. There are, if you have too much of one, too little of the other, you're going to have, your moods are definitely going to be affected by it. But it doesn't mean that it will control everything. Because I know people who have lousy hormones and terrible neurotransmitters, and their diet is horrible, and they are stressed out, and they're still in a good mood. So, the nature of your health. That kind of helps. You know, if you're broken down and you feel like I've heard of someone today was telling me about rheumatoid arthritis and what that feels like and living under, you know, with that kind of a rheumatoid arthritis kind of condition and the pain that's there all the time and how it wears you down. So your general state of health is one. Your hormones are another. I'm going to throw another one into the mix, your age. Your age. Something seems to happen to people as their mood seems to darken as they get older. There seems to be a crossover point. I think it's around the time you start receiving Social Security. The mood kind of goes from the up to the downside. Maybe because nature means it to be that way. Maybe it's preparing you for your later life so you won't be so excited so you'll settle for less. Okay, so we know your general health, hormones, neurotransmitters. Boy, we can't begin to talk enough about neurotransmitters from what we're learning. Neurotransmitters, what are those things? Those are little chemicals in your brain that affect the firing of one nerve to another. And your neurotransmitters could either be heightened or depleted, one or the other. And when they are, specific ones are going to make you feel certain ways, like dopamine. We talked about the dopaminergic mind. We're going to do a special on that. Serotonin, we talked about. We talk about all of these things, and they in a way can affect you in such a way that you think you're in control of your mind, but you're not. Your mind is being dictated by the presence or absence of these neurotransmitters. So there we have three so far. We have general state of health, which includes your nutrition. You know, it includes your general nutrition, your hormones, your neurotransmitters. And of course, included in diet, we have to include whether or not you're at the mercy of some kind of either coffee or alcohol or drugs or different things like that, which will also affect you. And within your diet, we're going to have to include things like SSRIs, pills that you may take. Because it's all part of what you ingest, you know what I mean? And if you take antidepressants, it's affecting your mood, of course. What's it doing? It's working on those neurotransmitters. It's sending you this serotonin. It's kind of getting you to lift your mood. These are all the internal, invisible dynamics. Other dynamics that could affect your mood could be the weather. We talked about that just recently. Weather could bring you down. You know, a real stormy day versus a sunny, bright day. But now to go beyond that, we'll talk about the psychological as well. Well, lastly, wait, before we leave the other factors, environmental factors, very important. What's the environment like? What's the atmosphere like around you? If you're in a war zone where there are a lot of losses, you know, mood is certainly going to be affected. Poverty is certainly going to affect moods. Psychologically. What we say with psychologically is we ask ourselves, what would have created this effect? Now, the effect that you would have, a psychological effect that would determine a mood, would be, for example, if you lose something. You know, sadness. A person comes to see me and they tell me they're sad. The first question I ask them is, what did you lose? What did you lose means, what loss did you experience? Now, sometimes people could lose something specific, like someone they care about. Or sometimes you lose an idea. Like, what did you lose? I thought he was in love with me, and then I learned he wasn't. I thought I had this secure, but then it wasn't. I lost my job. All of those could affect your mood seriously. Loss. The question becomes, with our mind, with the psychology of it, when our mind is able to perceive, we're going to be able to, if we have the freedom of our brains, we can look at our mood from all of these aspects. It's not one or the other. Unfortunately, if you're too nutritionally oriented, you say, it's what I ate. If you're too chemically oriented, if you're a psychiatrist and you've got a daughter who's acting in a funny way, you say it's her neurotransmitters. Take a pill. It's a hormone. But if you could see the whole package, if you could look at the psychological as well as the physiological, and you could consider it all, you could take a look at yourself, and one at another, one time or another, you could start fixing it. Now, the problem with moods being the way they are and changing your mood is sometimes the mood feeds on itself. And the way that mood feeds on itself is when you have a repetitious pattern of dealing with the mood by externalizing the mood and getting into validating the mood as real. Remember, a mood is just a mood. You make it real when you bring it to somebody else and you argue with the other person about your mood. For example, you could say, I'm in a bad mood today because I think the house is ugly. And you're not considering that your mood is based on the fact that you're, you know, you have something going on for you, you're depleted, you're feeling chemically wiped out, you're a little overstressed. And you're not accounting for that, but then you tell somebody about the house, or the house is too dirty, and your mate starts arguing with you about the house. Now you make the house the real thing. And then you go to your therapist and you talk about the house and the argument about the house as if this is the real issue. But those arguments we have are almost never real issues. What are the arguments about? We create things to fight about because we want to perpetuate the mood we're in. We never create things to fight about so we can get in a better mood. You don't get in a better mood, you just get in a worse mood. When's the last time you had a mood, an argument with somebody over which, you know, you walked away with a great satisfactory feeling? You know, it's never satisfactory. When you do get it is when you could talk to someone who, like you, is not rigid, but has an expansive mind. An expansive mind, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the mind that can change, the mind that can consider alternatives, the mind that can look at everything and not get fixed in any one spot. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to be taking your calls today and talking about moods for the last time. We're going to get a chance to take your calls today because we're going to be moving into our fund drive tomorrow. And that's, we're going to be raising money for the station. And just to let you know that I'm making a special offer tomorrow during our fund drive. Tune in. I'll be on from 1 to 3 p.m. And we're raising money for the station as if we've ever done that before. But it's our end of the year. It's our fall fund drive. And I'm going to be on just with you on Wednesday. No other day. I won't be on Thursday. So be sure to tune in tomorrow. Talking about mood. Sometimes a mood, when you get stuck in a mood and you wind up in an argument, you wonder, what's the point about? What are you trying to do? You're trying to change your mood? Sometimes just having an argument, you know, you ever notice people like to talk to other people? Sometimes you talk to your friend. You're in a bad mood and you talk to your friend, and some of you will find that talking ad nauseum, talking for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes to a friend of yours makes you feel better. Why? Well, it looks like the talking did you good. It looks like your friend did, but you know what happens during talking? Serotonin raises. For some people who are lacking in serotonin, just a very act of communicating and talking over and over again makes the serotonin raise. There are people, I'm sure many of you, know of people who will talk to you and keep on talking, whether you're hearing them or not. Sometimes they're just talking at you and talking at you and talking at you, and they don't really care that you're there. You nod your head and you look at them because you don't want to cut them off. But after about 25 minutes, they feel much better. And they believe that it was the discussion with you, that it was you who made them feel better. What it really was just they had low serotonin and they raised their serotonin by talking for a long period of time. That's why people go to nail salons and get their hairs done and they talk in groups. Because all the stuff you talk about is just working on the chemistry of your brain. But we want to say to each other, you know, that's a really good hair salon because they really do so well with my hair when I go to that hair salon. What really happens is it's a good talk salon, you know? It makes you feel good when you talk there. Now, sometimes the chemistry of your mind makes you stuck. Sometimes you get into like a groove of a record. You remember records? They have grooves. You get stuck in the groove of a record and you get caught in the same thing over and over again. Jealousy, blame. Usually blame is a good sign that a person is looking to get stuck in a groove. Because blame always responds with defensiveness, right? If you blame somebody, they defend themselves. And then you blame them and they defend themselves. And then you blame them and they either agree with you or argue with you. But blame is trying to externalize your mood. You're trying to push it on the outside. It's your fault that I feel this way. It's nobody's fault. It's not the noise. It's not the smells. It's not the arguments. It's none of that. It's inside you. But you know, when you're fragile, all of those things will affect you. When you're fragile, every little thing becomes a target. See, when you're fragile, the smell of anything could get to you. You know, when you're fragile, the noise will get to you. I was talking to a friend the other day. I was on the phone and a siren was passing outside my window with an ambulance. And my friend on the phone said, "What a racket." And I said, "What racket?" Because I didn't hear it. There are other times I'd be at home and I'd hear a siren passing and I would feel irritated. That, you know, hey, he doesn't have to be blowing his siren. There's really got nobody in the ambulance. He's just making noise. But my mood is what makes it work. So sometimes the goal is to stay stuck in the track until it exhausts itself. So when you see organizations or people who have constantly the same arguments, I know of an organization that for at least 10 years has had the same bitter, embroiled argument again and again and again and again. It never stops. Every time you think it's coming to a stop, it's another argument. It's another argument. It's another argument. You know, you hear these a lot among board of directors. When people get on boards of buildings and they're fighting to be on the board of a club or the board of a thing, and they're arguing with you. It's almost like, silly, what are you talking about? But I've known of organizations that have complete dysfunctionality among their bitterness. And their bitterness is just to be bitter. It's like, I'm here to make sure I'm fighting for my tiny inch of turf that I may get. But you know, the truth of it is, none of it really matters. If you're part of an organization that is meant to have a direction of goodness, what if you cooperated with each other? What if you collaborated instead? What if you were sworn to collaboration instead of being sworn to antagonism? I've seen enough organizations, I've seen enough corporations, I've seen enough places where people are just downright negative all the time. And you wonder, why do you want to be a part of this? Sometimes you have to be a part of it if you work there, you know? But it makes you wonder, you know, doesn't anybody want this to work? Is it just about them being antagonistic? Is it just about, you know, making sure nothing really works without you? So what does work? What does work is what we want to know. And are there any new tools that we have for making it work? We discovered a couple of things about the intellect. You have to be careful with the human mind. If you are brought up with religious beliefs that inhibit your mind, that say to your mind must only think this way, you have to be careful, because the mind of the person you do that to is going to get stuck and get rigid. A rigid mind loses its elasticity. It loses its ability to figure out what's going on and not get stuck in the broken groove. A rigid mind is a very dangerous mind. Because you could almost lose your mind to its own rigidity. On the other hand, a flexible mind an expansive mind can help you look at your own mood and laugh at yourself. You look at it and you say, look at me. Here I am today. What's this thing I'm doing today? What am I reacting to? Why am I reacting so seriously and so strongly to any given mood, to any given thing? In fact, we've learned some other stuff about that because we've for years talked about the importance of people keeping their brain sharp. How do you keep your brain sharp? You keep your brain sharp by learning things all the time. Make sure you're learning something new, you know, over and over again. You want to learn something new. You want to open it up. You don't want to see the same thing over and over. You don't want to watch TV all the time. You don't want to just stay on your computer to learn, because that becomes sameness too. You want to learn newness. You want to see something new. Here's a recent article that appeared in the New York Times, which talked about nonsense and how nonsense sharpens the intellect. I'm going to just quote it. In addition to assorted bad breaks and pleasant surprises, opportunities and insults, life serves up an occasional pink unicorn. The $3 bill, the nun with a beard, the sentence, to borrow from Lewis Carroll's poem, that gyres and gimbles in the wade. Wave, it was. An experience short that violates all logic and expectation. It's the absurd. It's the sensation of the absurd. It's like a funny kind of feeling that doesn't seem to be working there. And at best, it's a feeling is disorienting. At worst, it's creepy, you know? So we want to try to guarantee ourselves against all of those disorienting things. We try to control our lives, and we buy insurance, and we build strong houses, and we have thick walls, so that all of these variations will not enter our mind. All these surprises, the stuff that comes in that we're not expecting, won't happen. Yet, you know, I mean, we deal with chaos all the time in the form of the weather. Who knows what the weather is going to do? You know, well, we try to control it. We'll have umbrellas and we'll have rubbers and we'll have weather predictors. We'll actually know when the storm is going. We're going to control it. We're going to control it so that it doesn't surprise us at any time. You think you'd be better off if you never knew what the weather was going to be? Imagine what a life would be like if you said, all right, let's see what the weather brings us today. And you go out wearing a sweater and it gets too warm and you take off your sweater and then it rains and you don't have an umbrella and you run for cover and you laugh, you know? Or it gets too cold and you have to go home and you have to get something to put on yourself. What if we let ourselves be at the mercy of the weather? What would that do to us? What if we didn't predict it? What if we didn't look at the forecasts? Well, the weather says for Saturday that it's going to be really funny and rainy. Maybe you shouldn't go out. Well, according to this research, my friends, it kind of says the more you could allow nonsense to slip into your life, the more you can allow yourself to go with the unpredictable, to feel something new, to incorporate it in your system, the more flexible your mind gets. Now, that doesn't mean you should be the kind of a person who is disorganized all the time and therefore never organizes anything. But, you know, there's something about the disorganized person. The totally disorganized person, the person who usually brings you these little surprises, they get by too. They get by. You often wonder how somebody who's so chaotic gets through life, who doesn't have a place to sleep, who doesn't have clothing to put on their back. You know, they get into relationships and they have strange relationships, but they get by also. They get by. They have their way, even if they have to alienate themselves. What works is being able to look at yourself. What works is being able to say to yourself, well, I know I think this is real, this thing that I'm arguing about, but my mind tells me there are a number of things that I should consider. Maybe I should consider how I'm feeling outside of this mood. Maybe I should consider what other things are going on in my life. What's my chemistry life? What's the last time I got a good night's sleep? You know, a very important factor. What did I eat yesterday? Right? as well as, is there something I'm reacting to interpersonally that I may not even be aware of? What about that phone call I had with my dad yesterday where he wound up putting me down? Could that be affecting me? So it is all of it. It's the psychology of it. It's the physiology of it. But introspection is the magic. The flexible mind will look at it and you'll be ready to let go a lot easier. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Sometimes the chemistry of it is so powerful, so powerful, you really have to do something to stop it. Sometimes you've got to make some intervention. Sometimes you got to take some herbs or take some chemicals or do something to stop your mind. I mean, that's why people drink so much. That's what they're trying to do. That's why people smoke. They're trying to stop themselves from the mood that they're feeling. It's kind of nature's way. That's why we have a society of people who eat too much. Because they're trying their very best to alter the mood they're in. They're trying to find a way, one way or another. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take your calls when we get back. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're just asking the simple question. I'm saying to you, don't necessarily believe the mood that you're in. Don't believe it. Don't believe it because it's your mood. But of course, if you have to believe it and you have to talk it over with somebody who could help you sort it through. Talk it over with somebody who's not just going to buy the words that you're putting out there and talk about it. Don't go into your therapy sessions talking about your relationship with your husband and then blaming him for how you're going to get him to change. That's not the way to make it work, my friends. It's not the way. The way that you make it work is you find out about yourself. So, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. When we get back, we're going to be taking your calls about this. I want to refer you to the October 6th article in the Mind part of the New York Times, How Nonsense Sharpens the Intellect. And a reminder to you that it starts tomorrow. We need volunteers to answer phones down at WBAI, which I hope some of you will do. It means call the station, 209-2800. And you got to sign up to get in there, but get down there tomorrow and start answering the phones for this beautiful place called WBAI. And let me see. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
Yo, this is G-Love on WBAI, New York.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues
All
and
right.
events making news across
Get ready.
The nation and around
I'm
the
going
world
to,
with expert guests,
I'm
insightful
to, I'm
analysis, and of course,
right
your
after
comments,
this.
Questions,
okay.
and observations.
Bear that in mind.
That's
5 seconds.
Right here,
Four.
WBAI,
three, two,
New York.
Go.
Do I worry 'cause you're stepping out? Do I worry 'cause you've got me in doubt? Though your kisses aren't right, do I give a bag of beans? Do I stay home every night and read my magazines? Am I frantic 'cause we've lost the spark? Is there panic when it starts turning dark? And when evening shadows creep, do I lose any sleep over you? Do I worry? You can bet your life I do.
Do I worry when the Iceman calls? Do I worry if Niagara falls? though you treat me just like dirt. You think I give a snap? Are my feelings really hurt when you're sitting in somebody else's lap? Am I curious when the gossip flies? Am I furious about your little white lies? And when all our evenings end, 'cause you got a sick friend that needs you, do I worry? Honey, you know doggone well I do.
Am I frantic 'cause we've lost the spark? Is there panic when it starts turning dark? And when evening shadows creep, do I lose any sleep over you? Do I worry? You can bet your life I do.
Did you recognize that? If you did, then you're one of our longtime listeners. That's the Ink Spots. Do I worry? Do I worry? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We are going to take your calls at 212-209-2900. Look, let's keep in mind what this is about emotions. Emotions are valid, but they are also invalid. You know, the word invalid is like invalid. You become an invalid to your emotions sometimes. What does that mean? That means you're invalid. That means you're believing something that is a feeling that you make you. Now, feelings are legitimate. If you feel angry, it's legitimate. If you feel sad, it's legitimate. These are feelings you feel, but they're not you. You can't say, I am this thing. I am this person. It's your feeling. Your feeling could come from any number of places, including it could be from an interaction, but it doesn't take you over completely. Now, what happens after a while is you learn to let it go. You learn eventually to say, okay, let me put that one behind me. Let me let it go. Don't let me dismiss it, but let me let it go. Rather than allowing the flow of life to carry us where we want to go, most of us spend a lot of time just swimming upstream. We assume that we have to struggle to get what we want, and we have to push against this current. But what if it's not true? What if we could actually use the natural flow of life to support us in having what we really want? Most of you have known what it was like to experience a state of flow. To be what it's like to let go. Where you could be laying on a beach having a vacation somewhere and somebody says, hey, did you hear what happened in New York? And you go, yeah. What do I care? You let it go. You can let go of resistance just like you can let go of any feeling. Sometimes you have to work them out. Most of the time, we get overly invested in them. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take your calls. I keep promising you we're going to take your calls. But, you know, just the last thing you should know about, there is a resistance that we have to challenging this. Resistance is like insidious. It's one of the main things that stop us from having, doing, and being what we want in life. In fact, we often resist the things we really like and care about. Resistance is the desire of the human mind to stay stuck in this one loop over and over again. It gets used to it. And when it gets used to it, it doesn't like the newness. It doesn't like the change as much. So it sticks you with it. So sometimes you use your anger to serve you. Sometimes you use your depression to serve you. Sometimes you use the mood to serve you, and you get stuck in the loop of the mood, and believe it or not, your hormones and your neurotransmitters serve you by helping you perpetuate the mood. Somebody's got to be smart. your beautiful conscious mind that you've developed over all these years, you can wake up and you can say, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going into this depressive place. I'm not going to be making decisions about forever. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let myself love wherever I can love. 212-209-2900. We're going to take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Jerry.
Hello, Jerry.
How are you?
Good.
I'm experiencing everything that you're talking about as far as alternative. I went through a major alternative lifestyle. I experienced rejection of marriage after 25 years, a death of my son, 25 years old. 3 months later, the death of my mother, all within 4 months. And this all occurred a few months ago, so obviously it was building up for a few years. But somehow, people look at me every day and want to know how I'm standing, how I'm doing what I'm doing, and functioning in such an incredible way. It's just my way of deciding that this is my alternative new lifestyle, that I'm here. I'm alive, and situations happened, and I'm meant to be here and to experience a new life.
Let's think about, Jerry, let's think about what the other option is. So let's say...
The other option is death, and, pulling the covers over my head.
Pulling the covers over your head, depression,
yes,
death.
Yes, extreme, yes.
That's how you would stay fixed in that other mood.
Yes.
You see, that's where your mind becomes, and that's the natural pattern. The natural pattern of loss is grief.
Yes.
But sometimes this grief could last so long that it gives you no chance of living at all.
Right.
You've decided to make a change.
Yeah, I don't understand how. I really don't. I can't even question it. Everybody questions it except for me. How are you doing this? How are you doing this? I would die. I would be dead. I would be on drugs. I would be in the hospital. I would have a nervous breakdown.
Okay, let's look at it for a minute, okay? Jerry, let's question it. When you were a kid, when things went wrong in your house, what did you do?
Oh, I went into a shell. I practically crawled under my bed. I had an extremely dysfunctional, not happy childhood.
I could hear that.
You do know me. I've been to you.
I am. So, Jerry, Jerry, when you had a dysfunctional family, and a dysfunctional early life, you developed a tool. And the tool was to categorize, compartmentalize, and remove yourself.
Uh-huh.
So let's say you're using the very same thing you did when you were a kid. Let's say you're using a defense that you once needed as a child.
I was afraid you would say that.
You know, but don't be afraid of it.
It's okay.
Be afraid of it. Yeah, listen to this. These defenses aren't all bad. If that defense enables you to live and to somehow not get sunk in this thing, then use that defense. Let it work for you.
It's working. I don't know how, but it's working.
It's working because it worked when you were a kid, and it works now. And on some level, you got to thank little Jerry for having developed this defense, which was born out of a disaster.
At a young age,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not against it. I mean, some therapists might come in here and want to blast it open and say, no, you have to feel all these feelings. Well, the hell with it.
Well,
until you start...
Of course I do. I've lost a child. I've lost a husband. I've lost a mother. Of course I feel. But I don't want to crawl in that hole anymore.
I
just feel like there's too much to live for.
You've been in enough shells.
I shouldn't be selfish about it. I don't think I should be selfish about wanting to be happy.
I'm on your side, Jerry.
In spite of everything, in spite of loss.
Yeah, I'm on your side, Jerry. Unless you felt some symptom that took over, you know, where you suddenly lost a lot of weight or you couldn't sleep or you broke out in pimples, unless you had some kind of a symptom appeared that may require we got to blast it open. Leave it alone.
Yeah,
leave it alone.
Right now, why not leave it alone? Why?
I'm on your side.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Jerry. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. 212-209-2900. Yes, as children, we develop defenses against stress, against what's around us, against what we perceive. Those defenses, which sometimes work against us, can also work for us. To give you an example of that, when I was a kid, my neighborhood was so bad that I developed a kind of childhood paranoia. Now, I wouldn't say it was paranoia, but I would say I was hypersensitive. I used to watch everywhere. Where was the danger coming from? Because where I grew up, you could walk down the street, suddenly he'd get hit by something. See, it was a dangerous neighborhood. So we had gang wars and all that stuff. So I was hypervigilant. That hypervigilance turned into me becoming perspicacious. Or what I mean is I am able to see things that the normal person wouldn't see because I'm hypersensitive to what's around me. I'm glad I had that defense. It works for all of you. That's how I do the radio station. That's how I do the program. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi there.
Oh, hi. My name is Ray, and I'm currently in a separation from a marriage, 14 years, and I've been suffering a lot of anxiety as far as trying mood swings, just trying to find happiness, trying to focus and concentrate on work, on life. I am right now taking care of and living with my 11-year-old son from the marriage, and I finally made an appointment to seek some professional help. My question is, when I do go, what's the first thing that I should, I shouldn't talk about how she should change or anything like that, but what should I first be seeking when I have a professional counselor listening?
Good question for me. First of all, what you want to be seeking is somebody you could trust. I want you to feel confident that you like this person who you're seeking. I want you to feel like you could, Ray, break out in tears right in that spot, right in front of that person, so that you could show them your pain. That's the beginning. The first step is for you to feel like you've got some place where you feel safe. Because the pain you're carrying is so big, it's so locked into you at the moment. And the other part of it is that it's locked into you, and here you are caretaking your son.
Yes.
You're taking care of your son at the same time. So there's a child inside Ray that is screaming, how could this happen to me? And at the same time, this kid Ray has to grow up and take care of his son. I'll bet you did that when you were little, too. I'll bet as a little kid you had to grow up real fast.
Yeah.
You did, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were taking care of your family?
I was the middle one, taking care of my sister, older sister.
Yeah. You had to take care of your older sister. So whoever let you be a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's missing here is your chance to be yourself, to be the hurt child that you are. And what you're doing is you're kind of suspended in limbo. Now, once you get to a feeling and you let yourself actualize a feeling, means you let yourself really feel it, then you begin moving beyond it. And yes, focusing on her and what she did and how she did it and all that stuff is just a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where it's going to go, you know? But where it is going to go is to Ray. And to what Ray finally needs for Ray. You know, it's your time, Ray. This is a difficult time. How long have you been separated?
It's going on 3 months right now.
Oh, it must be brutal time.
It's torture.
Yeah,
like torture. She's going out. You know, I know she's going out. She's let me know that her feelings have changed and that her lifestyle has changed. And I'm trying to stay strong in front of our son. And he sees the pain inside of me. He comes to me sometimes, and he puts his hand on me and gives me a hug, and he says, Dad, you look like you need a hug. And I'm trying to hold it all inside, and it's hard for me to, you know, to try to deal with it. It's like a ball inside my chest, just twisting and turning, and it's like wants to just burst out of my chest. But I'm trying to keep it all inside, and sometimes I do, you know, break down and, you know, and start crying a little bit, but it's like I'm trying to hold this thing inside that's just forcing itself out.
You have a car?
Yes, I do have a car.
In your car, let it hang out and scream as loud as you can. Roar. Bring the voice out aside from inside of you, Ray. Mm-hmm. There's a violated animal inside there, you know, that is dying to get this pain out. Let yourself cry till you're exhausted. You won't die from it. You know, let yourself scream. Let yourself go through the indignance of it. And if you can't do it, that's what your therapist has to help you do. Because you got to get past it. The worst thing that happened to you is you're like a kid that got hit in the toe with a hammer but wasn't allowed to cry. Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of caught in the middle with your feelings. So you go and you find that counselor and you make sure it's the right counselor. And if it's not, you give me a call and I'll find you somebody who will really be there for you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Ray. Thanks for calling in. Rough stuff we have here. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there.
Hi. My name is Anita Holland.
Hello, Anita.
Hi. How are you doing? I don't know exactly where to start with you or myself. I feel like everyone takes advantage of me, and I'm a loner. I've been divorced 16 years. I am 55 years old. I have heart failure. I seem like I'm doing everything in the past for my family, but everybody's grown in their 30s. And I live alone, and everybody I meet, it seems like that either they're getting some sort of vibe from me that I don't see it. I'm overweight. I recently just let out of the hospital for heart failure. The doctors there didn't seem like that they were responsive to me. I'm not sure because of my gender or my financial status. I'm always struggling in everything I'm doing. I started going back to school for a creative writing course, then I got sick. And this will be the third week that I've been out, but I find that I like writing. It expresses me, what I feel. But everything I've done in my life, I have not completed it. Even with my marriage, I got married at 16. My first child is 15. I loved him, but he didn't love me. But all our children were by just him and I. And after that marriage failed because he really didn't love me. He went on to someone else who was our friend. I went to 5 different colleges and never completed anything. I gave up everything to help either one of my children and the last one who lived with me. My husband and I separated and got divorced legally in 93 and 94.
Okay, so wait. Hold on, Anita. Let me give you a hand, okay?
Please do.
I hear. Number one, I hear you're the victim of a mind that does not complete things. You have the kind of mind, as many people do, that's creative. And in your creativity, you see things and feel things that most people don't feel. But you do not complete things, which doesn't make you wrong. It's just the way your mind works. This could be the result of having, you know, we talk about neurotransmitters. This could be the result of a kind of a mind that works that way, which maybe eventually we could learn to balance differently. However, where it leaves you is with such an amount of frustration that you begin feeling like you are a burden on people. And then when you feel like you're a burden on people, they begin feeling like you're a burden on them as well. So what I need of you is for you to be somewhere giving and doing where people don't know you. And I want people to be grateful to you. I want you to do something that touches people in some way. Now, Anita, I know you're going to think to me, you're going to say, but I don't have any room. I can't go out there. But if you went and volunteered anywhere, you would be of value. The cold season is coming up. People are needed in shelters. People are needed who can make food. You won't get criticized for your weight. People will just welcome you because you've got your spirit there. If you could go and stick with some place where you could share your heart, you're going to change. You're going to be different. You know, your heart is breaking because it's aching. And it's aching for all the wrong reasons. You pick the wrong people for the right things. Don't look for anybody to solve your life. Get out there and give whatever you got left. Even if you die tomorrow, give whatever you got left to somebody else. Just give it to people who don't even know you. And, you know, I mean, I don't mean to to use it as an opportunity, but if you volunteer down at the radio station just to answer calls, it's boring to take calls. You don't get a chance to talk to too many people. But you will get a chance to meet some of the folks I know down there. It might be a nice thing for you, you know?
Yes, I heard that, and I was wondering how would I get there.
You got to dial 212-209-2800. You'll find a way to get there. Find a way.
May I ask you, do you think I need to get spiritual counseling at my age of 56?
What is spiritual counseling?
Well, I'll be 56 in November. I feel that spiritual counseling is that...
Now, I think what you're looking for is you're looking to find an answer in a person, in a thing outside like religion.
Yes.
And it's like still like looking for daddy. It's still like looking for a man. No, that's not, of course that might work, but it's, you know, you've got a lot of stuff going for you, Anita.
I do?
Yeah, you do. You're intelligent, you're wise, creative writing, you know?
Yes.
Hey, would you send me something to write? Would you write something and send it to me?
I surely will, yes.
You know, right? Let me see some of what you're writing.
How would you address that? Who would I address it to?
Well, just address it to me. Go to thepositivemind.com. You'll find my address. Send it to me.
Yes.
So you'll send it to me, and I'll get a chance to see it.
How would you just that?
Anita,
I promise you, yes.
I thank you so much for calling.
I thank you as well. God bless you.
Bye-bye. See Anita's mood shift just then? It shifted because what I did was expand her mind. I pushed her mind outside of what was ordinary to what was extraordinary. And I'm not saying spiritual counseling doesn't work. Spiritual counseling actually is the essence of it. We want to remember, but you know what happens with the real spiritual counseling? When you're reconnected to your spirit, you're reconnected to the universe and the meaninglessness of some of the struggles we have here on the planet. Unfortunately, for most people, spiritual counseling is formal religion, you know, which sometimes just gives you another dictate, another rule. 212-209-2900, time for one more call. This is Armand DeMille on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Me. It was fun to hear that lady's voice change as she answered you.
Yeah, it was beautiful, right?
Wasn't it? My problem is I have three daughters who are very nice, but I live near one. I'm old. I'm over 80. I financially take care of myself, but I need someone every now and then to help me with the bills. And they'd come in and get them out on time. I've been sick. And I have this daughter I'm close to who, I don't know what it is, though. I feel gloomy when she comes in. And she, the other two daughters live in different states, or one in a different city. Can't get here all the time, but try, visit them. And she keeps saying, you're going to have to ask them to come help you. You're going to have. So it's like she doesn't want the burden of me. I'm not such a big burden. I pay my way. I'm not there under her nose. And I'm not, I just need, I paid for her to get an MBA. I can't believe that she can't take care of my little finances for me. But she always finds fault that the others aren't there.
I hear, you know, what's your name?
Jerry.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and certainly it is painful. Certainly it is difficult to see that. But your daughter's got her own stuff to handle. Maybe what you should do is take her off the task of handling your finances. You know, take her off that task and meet her outside. You know, get outside the house. Don't have her just come over. Are you mobile enough to get outside your house?
Yes, I can.
Move outside with her. Take a different kind of way with her. Change it. That's the whole essence of what I'm talking about today.
I was wondering if she was using me, really, to kind of get at the girls, though, the other two.
Yeah, I understand. I understand those conflicts. But let that all go.
All right.
Just go outside with your daughter. Get outside and do something a little different. I wish I had more time to talk to you, but I have to be going. Do you have a computer by chance?
Yes.
Send me an email, would you? And we'll communicate by email.
That's kind of you.
I would love to.
Except I don't know how to use the computer.
Well.
I haven't learned.
Ask a neighbor. Go to the library. They'll teach you there.
All right.
All right.
We'll.
Jerry, thanks for calling in.
You're very good to listen to.
Thank you. Armand DeMille, thepositivemind.com. Sorry we ran over a little bit, Michael. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. during the fun drive.